I told our Tuesday Bible study group, our Ape Tuesday Bible study group, that I wanted this day, the day in which we remember the baptism of our Lord, to be a joyous occasion. Then, in all my wisdom, I decided to show you a clip from Schindler's List. Not exactly the tone I wish to set for the morning. So since that tone's already ruined, I think it's a good time to plug Bible study. Here at Elmina, you are blessed to have multiple options available to you for Bible study. You have Sunday, just prior to worship. You have Monday morning, and you have an open invitation to Bible study Tuesday evenings at Goebbels UMC. And if you all have a desire to lean in closer to Jesus, one of the best ways is by studying Scripture. Every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m., we gather to study four pieces of Scripture, picked not on whim or by fancy, but by the common lectionary. We dive as deep into these Scriptures as our curiosity and the time allows. We also get a good preview of what the next Sunday's message will be about, since the four texts tend to follow a common theme, one that lines up with our church calendar. So I highly encourage anyone at any time to drop in and check it out. There's no catching up to do. Each session is unique unto itself, and I swear to you, there is positively no homework. I know that's important. All right, back to your regularly scheduled sermon. So while this video isn't exactly exuding joy, there's a lot going on in this three-minute clip. So let's not discount the possibility that we might find cause for joy in what is seemingly a horrible piece of history. You may or may not know the story of Oskar Schindler, superbly played by Liam Neeson in this 1993 masterpiece by Steven Spielberg. Schindler was a German businessman who, through his relationship with his Jewish business manager, slowly becomes disgusted with the brutality and inhumanity displayed by his fellow Germans. In this scene, Oskar Schindler and Camp Commander Amon Goth are together on a hot day. Schindler, seeing the Jews being herded into cattle cars, pretends to joke about hosing down the train cars to give some relief to what has to be unbearable heat. Did you catch what Goth says to Schindler? He says, "This is very cruel, Oscar. You are giving them hope. You shouldn't do that. This is very cruel." While Goth knows cruelty very well, I'm sure, I doubt he's an expert in hope. This past week, I was reading a blog post about baptism from a Dr. Gary Hansen, and I came across the following comment by Joe Pruitt. Joe writes, "Dr. Hansen, I do recall my own baptism. It occurred when I was 11 years old. However, more telling than my own personal baptism is a story I'd like to share with you that will forever be ingrained in my mind. When an infant is baptized, you will recall, the pastor asks the congregation to make a vow. And that is a vow to teach this child in the way of the Lord. Well, here's the story. A good friend of mine whose father was our retired pastor, in fact, he married my wife and I 32 years ago, my friend lost his wife to cancer at an early age, in the late 20s. He had two children who were both very young. At her funeral service, he, my friend, got up to speak to the congregation. And with tears flowing down his face, he said to the crowd, 'Did you mean it? Did you really mean it when you vowed to teach my children at their baptism? Because if you did then, I need you now. I need you now more than ever.' This to me," says Joe, "was one of the most moving moments I can recall at church, and it reminded me that when we make a vow, that maybe, just maybe, we ought to take it seriously." Friends, do you know what Joe's friend is asking? He's asking if there's hope. He's asking, in the midst of grief and despair, he's looking for a sign of hope from his church family. He's pleading with them, in fact. His plea is for them to step into the gap. His plea is for them to try to close that gap they can never truly fill. The gap left by this man's wife. He's asking them to help him, this grieving widow who is now tasked with raising two young children as a single parent. You know, this vow we make, it's a lifelong commitment. There's no expiration date. It's not just meant for children. We are called to continue to raise each other up in the faith throughout our entire lives as we're connected as one body, one Christian family, whether we like it or not sometimes. I'd like you to think about the scene in our gospel lesson. John standing in the Jordan River, dunking people in and telling them that there is hope. Nobody had seen this before. The people didn't really understand what was happening. They didn't truly know what John was offering to them. Do we? When we say, remember your baptism and be thankful, do we really understand what it is we are to remember? And Jesus didn't walk up on this scene that day and say, John, what are you doing? That's very cruel. You're giving them hope, though he could have. They lived in a cruel world. Hope was not easily found. They all lived under the boot of an empire and an occupying army. This empire that had their hands in the pockets of the Jewish leaders and the local representatives, the local religious leaders who were looked to as leaders of each town, these rabbis would pander to the powerful or risk retribution. So the common man had nowhere to turn for hope. Then along comes John, who tells them he is preparing the way, preparing them for the coming Messiah. So Jesus, he comes up onto the scene and he joins them. Steps right into the water and is baptized with them. You know, Schindler had skin in the game. If the Nazis were to figure out that, well, I mean, you saw Eamon Galt's face at the end of the clip. If Oskar Schindler were to be found out as a Jewish sympathizer, his life would be over. But he didn't lose his life. And through it all, I think he found his soul. Jesus knows very well where the ministry he starts at the edge of the Jordan will lead. That it will lead him to be in direct opposition with the dominating powers of the day. And still, Jesus gets into the water with the people and is baptized by John. And then we hear God say, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, let's not move on past this too quickly. The words here are important. He says, "This is my Son." Not, "You are my Son." This is my Son. He is presenting his Beloved to us, with whom I am well pleased. Not, "Jesus, you make me really happy." God is telling us how he feels about Jesus. God is telling us that Jesus is not just our hope. Hope for a better future. Hope that everything will one day be okay. Jesus is not just our hope. He's in it with us. He's part of the whole thing. The Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word that was God in the work of creation, not created by God but begotten, not created but fathered. Jesus is with us in creation. Getting down into the water with us, sharing in hope. Jesus isn't just bringing hope to us. Jesus hopes with us. And that is the key to his baptism. So when I ask you in just a few moments to remember your baptism, you may think, "Well, I was just an infant." Or you may think, "I do, I remember it, but what should I do about it? What about it? What am I supposed to remember? I got a little wet." What I would like for you to remember is when you took on your baptism, you took on Christ. You became a partner with Christ. You became one with the body of Christ. You now have skin in the game. Remember that. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, our prayer today is simple. We pray for all those around the world who are living under persecution. We pray that they can feel hope in the midst of utter hopelessness. We pray for those in our congregation that need this partnership with Christ now more than ever. We pray for Matthew and Sharon, for Margot and Laura, for Richard and Rita, for Betty, Evelyn, Carol, and Mike. Lord, we lift up Mary and Regan, Jim and Larry. Gracious God, we ask for your continued mercy for Ross and Don, for Mary's sister, for Marjorie, for Dixie, Becky, Ashley and her sister, for Mike, for Kim, and for Nathaniel. As we pray together the words our Lord taught us, we remember our baptism, maybe not literally, but we keep it in our hearts. We keep the meaning of this blessed act. And now we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us move into a time of remembrance, and let us enter into this time with joy in our hearts. After the blessing, I will ask you to come forward and hold your hands over the bowl. I will pour water out onto your hands and ask you to remember your baptism and be filled with joy, to be thankful, to rejoice. If you're in need of assistance, please raise your hand and we'll bring the water to you. During this blessing, your parts will be emboldened. Always mark your space. There we go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and spirit. All this is God's gift, offered freely and without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge that God is what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So on behalf of the worldwide church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins?